Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Before I do that.
You're enjoying away time more.
Jason is absolutely on to something with Coach Lee Corso. I was curious, not with the betting, but with the timing. I was curious. I was like, you know what? He's right. They got to do something. From Sports Illustrated.
It hurts.
22 hours ago. Yesterday, ESPN to meet with Lee Corso about College Game Day future after this season.
I'm just glad they finally are starting to get it.
Yeah, it's hard to watch. We've talked about this before, George. Like, it's been one of the he's the Grim Reaper. He is.
No, John's made me the bad guy
because he said Jerry Lawler needs to stop wrestling.
It was the same thing.
He says Lee Corso needs to stop doing Game Day. Who else? You never said Joe Biden needed to step down though. That's where you drew the line.
Yes, I did.
Did you say that?
Okay. Yes, I did.
Okay.
Fool.
Okay.
I'm the one that told you his wife is, again, like Herb Street,
yes,
that we needed to get her.
Yes.
Jill?
Jill.
Jill, we needed to Dr. get Jill to convince, to yes, understand it, and because she is the only one he will listen to.
That's right. Essentially, you are the Grim Reaper for elderly professional white men. So you tell them when their time is
well,
up.
Well, black don't crack. And again, if we get to that point, we're getting off the set.
Because you'll never tell Denzel. It's
just
time.
Show me the old brother that's up there struggling, and I will tell you if it's time for him.
He doesn't get to struggle
because
does
again
he?
They he don't we don't get up there, do we?
That's right.
You guys.
That's right.
Can age, retire, and stay on up there in that thing?
Yeah, no,
in that spot.
That is a
and
fair.
So yes, it happens that all of these are white.
Yeah, right.
I just think they're too stubborn. I mean, all these white guys are, you know. They're
again,
like,
it's yeah, not this. In this case, it's Kirk that's being the stubborn.
Absolutely,
right,
100%.
Because again,
Joe eventually understood it's better if I step away. Now it was too late.
As Jason points out,
it was too late.
Lee
Joe,
no, he doesn't know where he's at, so he doesn't realize that he's on game day.
Careful, we don't want to become the mob, right?
Right.
That makes
that's
fun
right
of Lee.
No, it's for
his
own
best
good
interest. Yes,
100%.
You said he doesn't know where he was. Where he is half the time, like Joe.
Yes,
and that's a little jab.
Well, the one that really did Joe in is when President
which one?
Donald Trump said, I don't know what he said. I don't think he does either. That was the end, right? That was when the campaign ended. So yeah, I mean, those are pretty devastating haymakers when those allegations are levied. Anybody else we retiring while we're at it?
No.
Okay, nobody agrees.
Let me tell you who continues. I just don't think he's aging. Joe Birch looks like he could go another 20.
Yep.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah. I think.
Like, any sharp still? The dude's done it forever. I'm not sure what his age is, but like,
yeah,
I'm telling you, he's been on. I mean, he's up there with Jarvis on the 40, 50 year thing.
Yeah, no doubt.
And the guy is just rolling.
He can keep
and
going.
I feel like he could go another. Well, so, you know, easier to find ones that are still going strong than it is to find the ones you should. You pick to take off because I think in most cases, man, we know when the time is right, and those folks know when the time is right. In this case, you know, it's going on for the Lee Corsos and some others longer than needed to.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I was trying to think, like, you know, who else would even be in consideration, but I guess
I thought of one maybe, and I hate to say it because he's iconic.
I hate it. You have to give it to us now.
Al Michaels.
Oh,
his casts on Thursday Night Football.
George, I mean, we don't do this.
But we're talking about some great plays on Thursday Night Football, and he just delivers it like this.
That's
he's
because
just saying it like this.
He doesn't think, Jeffrey made the point, he doesn't think he's actually on TV. So he's not giving it the same level of effort. And I actually subscribe to this, Jeffrey, right here.
That's a good conspiracy. That's a good theory. I agree with that.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it really is. Al doesn't feel he's on the same platform that he once was, and that's
why
you are not getting
this. What's the difference to him?
But here's the thing, George, on him. That's an effort-level thing and a thing he can control still. So that's why I'm not – if you're going to – you know, if this is all you're going to give us, yes, it's one thing. He's capable, though, I think, of still being – you know, having that greatness in him. It doesn't seem like he's – you know.
We are talking about someone who's 80.
My goodness.
He looks great for 80, Mike.
Looks great.
Dude, he still sounds great for 80 when he's into it, to your point. Yeah. Now, but maybe that is the point, is that he can't be anymore.
Put him back on TV instead of Amazon Prime, which that's also where your Friday night game is.
You brought up a good one. I realize Al Michaels is 80 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when you've seen the amount of football that Al Michaels has seen, it's going to take a lot to excite him. It's going to take a lot. The threshold and the barrier of entry is, and it needs to be, higher. So, you know, your little 8-yard game.
Corso is 89. Like, what are we doing?
And it's, I mean, that those 9 years, as we have seen, they hit hard. The nine, like, when you go from, like, 78 to 87, those years hit very hard.
How about Mac Brown is from Cookeville?
Okay. All right.
Tennessee.
Retire back there, man. Retire back there.
Well, it's about that time.
Yeah.
Somewhere. I'll get it on the Tennessee River.
Yes.
Go get you a nice little cabin.
He kept pump faking us all year long. He's like, if they tell me that I'm not the man, if I feel like I'm not the man for the job, then I'll retire. Everybody was trying to tell you every week, and you still didn't do it. You know, so now they had to force you out. You could have done it on your own. You could have said, listen, you know, I've had my time here. I've been here twice.
Yeah, some stubbornness. And the greats, a lot of times, they've got that in them.
Plus, you got contracts, right? You don't want to walk. These agents will not let you do that. These agents will not let you bow out gracefully. They say you must get fired so that you can get the rest of your contract. If you walk away from it voluntarily, you will not get the remainder of that contract.
I'm going to be real honest with you. I think North Carolina should take a hard look at Ryan Silverfield. I really think they should. You know, the guy wins 9 or 10 games every year. He runs a clean program. You know, I just take a look.
Yeah.
Take a look.
Take a look.
Might be the guy you want.
All right, we'll come back. Jason Fitz going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about the college football playoff rankings, NFL, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Jason Fitz going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about the college football playoff rankings, NFL, and more. Looking forward to catching up with our friend Jay Fitz. Yeah, you mentioned it. You got that players era in Vegas. That's the Bama Houston game.
Okay, yeah, some of these I'd never heard of, but yeah. Of course I'm an old washed up college basketball beat writer.
Yeah.
So what's the other one then?
So that is,
when I say the other one, I should have given you the
that's name. Kansas Duke.
Terry's Chocolate Vegas Showdown.
Yeah, Terry's Chocolate, fool.
It has drawn Kansas and Duke Terry's Chocolate. He must have put up quite a bit.
We know it's a him?
I don't know. I don't. It could be
did you just assume Terry's gender, bro?
I did.
That's unbelievable.
Sue me.
We might in 2024. About to be 2025, folks. I mean, that's crazy that you would do that in this day and age.
You got me interested. I want to look.
You want a little Terry's Chocolate, do you? Yeah,
he might be a brother.
She might be a sister.
Terry's Chocolate Vegas Showdown. That's what Duke and Kansas are playing in.
And what's interesting, not a lot of chocolate on that Duke team, right?
It's a lot of
vanilla with Cooper Flagg and Con Knipple. But that's a great game there, obviously. Duke is favored, which I find fascinating. They were -5 against Kentucky on a neutral, and now they are -3, maybe down to 2.5 against Kansas on a neutral. Interesting. I guess I understand because Duke just went into Arizona and beat Arizona on the road. So it's possible that
Kansas best win North Carolina.
I guess that's true. Yeah, they beat Michigan State.
Yeah, their best win's North Carolina.
But yeah,
to your point, I mean, Duke's got a better win.
Yeah, they do. So I think it's fine. I think it's fair on a neutral site. You know, 2.5, 3, whatever.
You know what's fun? The prospect of talking about the Tigers in the same conversation as these.
Oh, 100%.
Best teams in the country.
Absolutely right.
Right after a win like yesterday.
Absolutely right.
The prospect.
Yes, that's why. That's what we miss.
We miss it.
By not being in the tournament, it's understandable. If Memphis isn't relevant to the college basketball conversation, we don't care about college basketball. It doesn't matter. It's not a relevant topic around here. And again, it's not totally unlike the NBA. If the Grizzlies aren't in the playoffs, we don't care about the playoffs. Why would we? You know, we're not going to have to worry about playing them. We're not going to have to worry about seeing them, you know. So being an active participant is always much preferred And it feels like the Tigers are an active participant in this year's college basketball. It really does. Regardless of what happens today, you know, they may win, they may lose, but it still feels like they're going to be, you know, they still have one more game in Maui, most likely against North Carolina, based on the spread here. We're just going by projections here. So you get one more crack at them if they lose and you lose. And then you got Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Clemson, Virginia. You still got, you know, four more games against Power 5 teams where you're feeling good about those now. You're feeling like you go 3-1 in those four now. If not 4-0, why not? So, you know, it just makes you have a totally different outlook.
Just even in the what could have happened if, you know, I compared it. This worst case scenario, you're 1-2 now. That's saying worst case you lost to Michigan State and then you're losing to the loser of North Carolina and Auburn. That's still a better 1-2 than it would have been had you lost to UConn. You're playing Colorado second round. You see what I'm saying? You're getting better opponents. It's the best possible resume Penny could have hoped for in terms of once you got the draw of the Maui, once you get that win, that UConn win, it unlocks, you know, a better opportunity, clearly, mm-hmm. In that third place game. I'm with John. Let's just go ahead and beat Michigan State.
Yep.
I mean, I would tell you, and here's the thing. Yesterday we said if Memphis could overcome the slow starts, they had a chance to win. You came in here excited about Memphis and his chances of covering. And we talked about it's not a long shot if Memphis can get past this first half, you know, sluggishness.
Yep.
And actually have a first half where you hit them first, and they did that. And clearly Kobe Rogers was a big part of that. I would say again, because Michigan State is such a bad three-point shooting team, and it is off the chains bad, the only thing that they can own against you, right, especially when you're coming off a game where the UConn players are saying they out-toughed us, is that's what we're going to do. So you better believe Izzo's going to give them the football speech, and it's going to be all about withstanding them in your chest early and trying to get you in foul trouble. So, again, I'm focusing on the early here,
yep.
Giving yourself this chance to what would clearly be the best path to get to the title game tomorrow. It's exciting, man. There's no question about it. You thought that opportunity was gone last night, mm-hmm. after you squandered the 13-point double-digit deficit that you, I mean, well, in this case, advantage that you had. But it, what a testament it was to the players that Penny's assembled, that even with Haggerty out, no Jourdain, you go down 4 in overtime and they still had answers.
Yep.
In this case, coming from even the most unlikely of places, PJ Carter, you know, one of the two scorers for you in overtime with what, 9?
Yeah. I mean, amazing. Amazing. So, I mean, these are times where you learn a lot about the team. You know, you get the sense for, like, okay, what's their character like? What are they really, you know? And Dane coming up to, you know, getting that dude's grill, the way you banded together in that overtime, like, this is a week where, you know, one of the things that I kind of wrote was, understandably, people didn't know what to make of Memphis. They want to like Memphis, but they're so traumatized by last year that they just don't want to invest in, you know. But I think, like, what they're doing this year in this week, win, lose, or draw, is they're showing you, like, this is a team that's worth a chance, worth giving a chance to say, hey, this team just might be different than last year. Even if they have the same great start, there's some reason to believe and think it won't go as south as it did a year ago.
No, here's the other thing too. I agree with you completely. They're worthy. I like the way that you put that in your column. They're certainly worthy of the investment. You see it. I mean, just look at the way they've been fighting. But think about too the confidence gained. One thing about Maui, having done that back in 2011, gotten that opportunity to go out there. Mm-hmm. Like once you're there at the Lahaina Civic Center and you're around all those other teams, think about the confidence that Memphis gained yesterday. The chest a little bit pushed out a little bit further when you're coming over a win off the number two team in the country. You already felt, right? And some of the players were saying this after the game, that you could play with those type of teams. But when you get a result like that,
yep.
And you hadn't been able to do that, even though you were 4-0, you know, people could still question and pick at your resume. You hadn't been able to sort of, you know, say, hey, yeah, hey, you see it, rest of the world? What we believed inside is true. We can play with the big boys out here. And so to be able to stamp that with that win yesterday, particularly in the way you did it, brother, that kind of confidence for a group as tightly knit as this, and it has to be a tight-knit group, John, because there's only 8 of them. Frankly, you know, Baraka yesterday, you know, offensively, there wasn't much from him. It's really 7 dudes offensively. I just think that's a good sign. The confidence, it'll be a good thing for this team. There's certainly not going to be any belief that you can't beat Michigan State and Tom Izzo. You've knocked off UConn. You've played North Carolina and Alabama in preseason games, I think, that were clearly meaningful for this team, and they showed us yesterday they can play with the big boys.
Like absolutely that, right.
Having that confidence is a super important part of it, especially once you can produce that. Then you really start to believe. And now you got your fans believing. You believe. May as well go to the title game.
Exactly right. Now, Jaron is hoping that does not happen.
Yeah, he is. He called Tom Izzo one time on the phone with us.
He did, and he has tweeted, game day, it's hashtag go green.
How dare he? I mean, he's still in Memphis. You're in the middle of a home stretch.
Do you think he should have elected to say nothing?
No, man. He knows. I get it. He's excited. You said, don't you have Michigan State fan friends?
Yeah.
And we don't ask them to stand down on this day just because we're in Memphis.
That's right.
You know? Good luck. Because Tigers can shoot.
You're going to need the luck. You're going to need all you can get. 9% from three. Anyway, yeah, should be a great afternoon. Should be a great afternoon of college basketball.
Or evening.
Evening, yeah. Early evening, you know.
Five?
Early evening. I think that seasonal depression is setting in.
I don't think it's afternoon, bro.
Well, it's early evening.
What games you watching this afternoon?
There's a lot. You got Creighton, San Diego State tipping off right now.
Well, and we know Creighton is your other team.
I don't think my boy Mason's playing right now.
Why? Has to be injury.
Yeah, he broke his leg before the season started.
He got in practice.
He got healthy, but now I don't know if my guy Mason is in or not. I got to check on that. I know he did come back, but he has not played since the 22nd. He did play a few minutes on the 22nd, so I'm not sure if he's checked in quite yet or not. But I've long advocated for a transfer. Let's get him over to Florida. You know, let's just complete the legacy there. Mom went to Florida. Dad went to Florida. Why are we not going to Florida? It just makes sense. That's what I would want for my kid. I'd say, you know, me and your mama went to Memphis. Or, you know, there is an expectation that if it's not going as well as you wanted to at a different place, just come on home. Do that for us. Now, it's not the most important thing, right? We didn't vote. We didn't play for Memphis. We didn't wear the uniform. So it's not like I don't push Riley, you know. She did have some very interesting things to say yesterday on Twitter. She told Dan Hurley to, quote, take the L. Crazy. Crazy things she says. But we don't push her, you know. Obviously, most people know that there's one place she is not permitted to, you know. And that goes for Damo as well. That goes for my son. Everything else is completely fair game. But if it ever wasn't going well, let's come back home.
Can I ask you one more Tigers-related question before we get to Jason Pitts?
Absolutely.
What do you think the chances are that Penny can keep P.J. Haggerty?
I think they're really good. I mean, why not? I mean, this is a guy that, I mean, he would be the investment. It would be like if you had Kendrick Davis another year of eligibility. Like, what would you do for him? You would do everything for him because, like, oh, my God, now I have a chance to keep a culture. I have a chance to keep an undeniable, undisputed, this is my dude. Let's make sure we don't lose them. Priority number one, I'd be getting that done today. I mean, I know you can't, but I'd be getting it done today. It would be like, forget the rest of the portal. I'm not even, you know, we're meeting at midnight. The day that thing, you know, I'm getting that done. Whatever you want. I mean, I he's getting the majority of the budget.
Like, it feels like such a key to future success.
Absolutely right, man.
Retaining him.
Because now, again, it's like it works the same way, bro. It's like, Here's your fulcrum. Here's the guy you're building around.
Yeah, come play in many ways, like DeAndre was for you for those
Absolutely.
3 years. You know that piece.
Absolutely,
you're able to keep.
So you know, if you'd have had more time with Kendrick, he would have been able to have that effect. He would have been able to get guys come play with him.
Yep.
But yeah, I would definitely make it an absolute priority. Give him no reason.
Bro is
to leave.
Awesome.
Yeah, he is.
He's fun.
He is.
I'd like to see him here as long as possible.
He has been incredibly impressive, but he way beyond my wildest dreams for sure. He'd be priority number one, two, three.
No, like you said, we let's start working on that now.
All right, we'll come back. Jason Pitts going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him maybe a little bit about this win for Penny, some NFL, some college football playoff rankings, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, Audi Turn FM, ESPN. All right, we're back. Jason and John, Audi Turn FM, ESPN. Every Tuesday around this time, we get the pleasure of talking to our friend Jason Pitts from Yahoo Sports. Joins us now. Fitz, there's a lot to get to today. Got NFL, got college football playoff rankings, obviously. But first, want to get your thoughts on what Memphis basketball did yesterday against UConn in Maui. I know it's November. I know it's really early, so we haven't quite turned all of our attention to college basketball. But for Penny Hardaway to get that win over the two-time back-to-back reigning champs and Dan Hurley in that fashion, how important was that for him and his career and this Memphis program?
Look, I thought it was a huge win. I'm obviously up in Connecticut, and you want to talk about, like, I know Memphis is a passionate fan base, but, man, I'll tell you, people don't realize this. Every sports bar in Connecticut, whenever UConn plays, is full to the brim, wall to wall, more than they are in an NFL Sunday. Like, it is life up here. Watching Hurley lose his you-know-what at the end of that game, he wasn't losing his you-know-what just because he's Hurley and has an anger management issue. He was losing his you-know-what because, frankly, they were getting out physical a lot in that game in a way I didn't expect. And, you know, frankly, we've gotten really used to Connecticut being able to out-execute everybody. That didn't happen in this game either. It's a statement win. And I know it's too early to pay attention to college basketball, but let's be honest. When it comes to the time that we see the selection committee around March Madness and they have to make their decisions, these are the sorts of wins that carry a ton of weight, a ton of it. So I think it's a huge win for Memphis. I think, frankly, it was a big, you know, I watched ESPN after the game last night when they're like, well, you know, sometimes you got to lose a game like this. No, like sometimes you got to win a game like this. And that's exactly what Memphis did. All the way down to the wire. Huge win. Huge win for them. Huge win for the program. And the type of banner win that you need when you're starting your season out for Memphis.
Afterwards, Dan Hurley, in talking about why he got the tech, which buried his team, by the way, Memphis made the four free throws, and it ended up being the difference in overtime. You know, he's blasting the officials, and then he says, you know, on the one call that had him super hot, that Memphis, you know, made a half-ass attempt to rebound the ball, just totally disrespecting the effort that Memphis put to put itself in that place in the first place and to beat you. And so I'd ask you, you know, have we allowed Danny Hurley to get to this? Because I imagine, Fitz, it's past the point of reeling it in. Once you win two national championships and you're, you know, I'm going to put quotes around it, courted by the Los Angeles Lakers, you know, who's going to tell you that the way you do it is not the right way or that you're being an ass and you need to change? Are we going to see a Dan Hurley that is all the way through his career like this, to where like Coach K was sort of in those moments at the end, you know, yelling at students and everything else? I'm just worried that we've allowed it. Same thing with kind of Draymond. Hurley's behavior, man, it should be unacceptable, but because he's the king now, I figure we're all going to have to live with it.
Yeah, and look, I thought, honestly, I was at the national championship game, right? And I was on the second row. You could hear Hurley talking his talk to Purdue players. And I thought that was so wild to me, to see a coach like talking his talk, like trying to get in the head of players. Like, I understand competitive nature is part of what everybody wants to love about Hurley. But to me, it's very, like, I understand why the college basketball community is starting to be a little off-put by it. Like, you can't make everything life and death in every situation. According to some reports on Twitter, he called the official, he used the F word and called him the F-ing and then the R word. Yep. All right. So I don't think a head coach should be using that language to anybody in any situation in any way. It's a bad look for Hurley. It's a bad look for Connecticut basketball. It's a bad look for the basketball community. Yep. And we've let him get this far out of control. I think that, frankly, the best thing that could happen right now for Hurley is that people start to get trigger happy with the technicals and just start. At some point, he's got to be reeled in. And then for him to sit there and say, I didn't even know one of these officials. Okay. Like, what's the point of saying that? Like, what is your end goal other than making college basketball look bad? For what I didn't think was that egregious a call. I don't know if y'all thought it was like, I just was watching thinking, okay, like, that's one of those 50-50. Like, they say don't leave it up to the refs. I see what the refs saw. I personally wouldn't have called it, but I also wasn't deeply offended that he did. I mean, my God.
Yeah, I will say this. Like, I did field a 68 last night with Tyler Hansbrough and John Henson, and you know, I'm just name dropping them because they're former players. And their whole thing was, well, you can't tee them up there. If you've been letting them get away with it for the entirety of the game, you can't give them a technical there. And I say, BS. I say that's exactly the minute you tee him up.
I couldn't agree more.
Because that's how you send a message that, hey, don't do this again, man.
And there's a result. He lost that 100%. Game for his team.
I think it's the perfect time to do it.
So I'm with you, Fitz.
Right? Like, you know, you give him license. And the other part of it, too, is that he is such a great character for college basketball. He's a villain. And it's something that the sport needs. So I understand that there is an element of, like, you let it go for a minute.
But it's crazy because we ran Bob Knight off for some of this. I know we got into, you know, touching and everything else. Hardly hadn't touched anybody. But we remember at the end we couldn't stand him because of the attitude that I'm holier than thou and everything else. I'm getting some of that from Hurley.
Yeah, and guys, I've died on this hill for a long time, so I'm consistent on this. I don't care about the you can't call it in that moment. What I care about, like, what I don't want is an official sitting there about to make a call and then thinking, well, wait, how much time's left on the clock? Exactly. I'm not going to call it here. Like, I want an official to do their job. And you know what? Instead of saying you can't call that in that moment, maybe say you shouldn't do that in that moment. Like, I don't know where we put this onus on. Refs are damned if they do and damned if they don't. And I said this to you guys about the AFC and NFC championship game controversies over the last few years, too. Like, look, I understand we want refs to swallow the whistle when we're enjoying the final product, but that's just not the way the job can be done. It's already tough enough to officiate these things. Asking everybody to suddenly decide when and where, I don't love that. And I agree wholeheartedly. Frankly, I think the ref has every right to call it there, and I think the ref has every right to look at a coach and say, you know what's worse than me calling it? You act in that way.
100%.
If it was a kid, if it was the athlete acting, if it was any of the star players acting that exact same way, if a star player had used that language at an official and it was caught on audio and we could hear it, we would be destroying that kid for how he represented the school. I mean, Hurley makes a lot of money. He's the highest paid educator in the state of Connecticut, supposedly, right? So act like it. I've said that to you guys a million times about football coaches. I'll say it about Hurley, too. Doesn't take away from the fact that Connecticut's great and he's a great coach. But you don't get to be an ass just because you're a great coach.
Facts. 100%, man. 100%. We're talking to Jason Fitz. Joins us every single Tuesday here on the show. All right, turning gears. College football playoff rankings tonight. Who is going to be happy? Who is going to be sad?
But Tennessee's going to be happy because guess what? They just got the gift.
Yep.
Like Tennessee has to do is beat Vandy, and they're in this thing. And, you know, frankly, if I'm Georgia, I'm mad as hell. I've already played the toughest strength of schedule in the entire country. Now I'm one way or the other, I have to go to the SEC championship game, where if I lose, I'll pick up a third loss. And then what's the committee going to do with me if I have three losses? But all of a sudden, I mean, I played this juggernaut of a schedule, and I had to play an extra game. Guys, like, I genuinely believe a conference championship game, if you win, if you want to keep that as an automatic bid, that's fine. I don't think the win or the loss should actually count on the loss, the record, the season record, because everybody else doesn't have to play that huge game. Everybody else is, and it's going to hit the ACC, too. If Miami plays SMU, as we all expect, and then one of them loses, which will happen, what happens to that team? Are they suddenly left out of the college football playoff because they had to play an extra tough game while Indiana and Tennessee were just sitting around? That, like, makes no sense to me.
When it's all said and done, because John and I were going back and forth on this yesterday, how many teams will the SEC have? We at one point talked about five last week. I mean, this past week we're talking about maybe it could be three. Where do you think it lands when we're all said and done?
I think it lands, look, Texas, Georgia, Tennessee, I think it lands at three. Where it gets complicated is if Texas A&M turns around and wins out. And Texas A&M is certainly capable of winning out. If they win out, then all of a sudden it's like, my God, are we leaving Texas out or are we leaving Georgia out with the third loss? Are we trying to cram in a fourth team from the SEC? Like, I think that's where it gets a little hairy, you know. So, but I feel confident about three right now. I'm not sleeping on A&M. I know A&M inexcusably has lost their own opportunity, but – man, I'm not sleeping on A&M. And by the way, guys, for everybody that hasn't done the math on this, this is what's wild to me. We're going to get 12 teams ranked. We're going to get all of the rankings. But when you look at the possible seeding, let's acknowledge that right now, if UNLV wins on Saturday, they're going to take on Boise State. That was a tough game the first time. UNLV gets Boise State. They'll be at Boise State. If they manage the miracle here and they upset Boise State, you'll be looking at Tulane or UNLV as likely the fifth top five conference champion, and also a Big 12 champion in Arizona or Iowa State that nobody really believes in. You can have two big teams. Two teams outside of the top 12 could end up in the college football playoff, which would then eliminate teams 11 and 12 from this whole thing. So Indiana and Alabama could finish this whole thing ranked 11th and 12th respectively and miss the playoffs because of the automatic bids that have to go out.
I I'm with you there. And to go back to this SEC question, I'm going to roll with that scenario. They only get three. I'm just curious what you think in terms of what's going to be Greg Sankey's response, right? My guess is there's not going to be a looking inward and sort of what the division, you know, taking away divisions has done. I mean, the SEC's eaten itself. John's made the point. That's what's happening. But that's not going to be Sankey looking inward. What's going to, you know, who's the first person he's emailing? What's he doing if the SEC only gets three in?
he's yelling if they only get three in.
Oh, yeah.
If they don't get Georgia in and Georgia loses the conference championship game, if that scenario happens, I think we have a genuine concern on whether or not the SEC and the Big Ten are going to take their ball and go elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Like, it will only take one of them having a conference championship loss, keep a team out of the playoffs and the profit sharing that comes with that and the opportunity that comes with that. Like, if Georgia loses the SEC championship game and then is left out of the college football playoff, the first call that the SEC is going to make is to the Big Ten, and they're going to say, hey, you want to do this on our own?
Yep.
We don't need anybody else. And they're not wrong, by the way. We're going to sit here and try and find a way to cram in Arizona State or Iowa State or UNLV or Tulane or whoever it ends up being. And then you're sitting around here and you're Georgia saying, wait a minute, we're not going, but that team is going. Like, that's when the SEC gets mad. And this is like, the Incredible Hulk. You do not want to make the SEC mad. And rightfully so. Like, this is why, guys, the one part of this whole system that is broken to me is I think the minute you empowered a committee to let them rank the top 12, then the top 12, as they rank them, should be your 12 playoff teams. There should be no automatic bids. I don't care where they come from. I don't care if all 12 come from one conference. That's the only way to do it that's not going to make people mad. But the football season is more interesting knowing that, like, at Boise State, UNLV, Tulane all have a real shot at the college football playoff right now and a home game that could come from it. Arizona State, Iowa State having an opportunity at a home game of the college football playoff. So not like it's what makes it interesting, but it's what's going to really enrage some of these teams.
Yeah, absolutely right.
And hasten the breakoff.
Cue the 30 for 30 music, Fitz, because what if I told you that the Las Vegas Raiders would execute the perfect tank and still not end up with the number one pick? I mean, it's really depressing how much work they still have to do to get in position to get the number one overall pick. I'm not sure they're going to be able to outpace who we got, the Giants. I feel like there's one more team that I'm forgetting off the top of my head.
The Jags are ahead of them right now.
But they don't have to get a quarterback at least. So if you finish two and they're one, there's a world where, you could survive. But it feels like even if we lose the rest of our games, Fitz, it's gonna be very difficult because I think we also play the Jags, which is not great.
Mm-hmm.
How are you feeling about the draft slot? Where do you think how far do you think this thing goes?
Well, look, by the way, I think it's ironic that there's a very real scenario where UNLV plays a home playoff game at Allegiant Stadium before the Raiders do.
Wow.
That's wild to me. I want to say that out loud. But here's the real of it. I've now talked to half a dozen people I trust, and across the landscape, one thing is for sure. Mark Davis wants Shedeur Sanders. We all know that. That's real. And there are people within the organization that believe that no matter what the grade is on Shedeur, no matter what the quarterback ranking is on Shedeur, Mark Davis wants Shedeur Sanders as the quarterback. The good news is Shedeur Sanders also wants to be the Raiders quarterback. Honestly, guys, I think this is going to happen. I believe that even if Shedeur is looking at it and saying, I could be the number two overall pick to the Giants, he's going to make it clear to the Giants that he wants to be in Vegas. He wants to be in Vegas. That's where he's going to end up. I think this season is going to end on a 15-game losing streak for the Vegas Raiders. I think the Raiders are going to lose every game the rest of the way. And when that happens and they've lost every game the rest of the way, the entire organization is going to be house cleaned. Everybody's going to be fired. And when everybody is fired, I'm not sure.
Even the new GM? Even him?
Everybody. Everybody's going to be fired. And Tom Brady's going to come in. My belief is that a year from now, Mike Vrabel is going to be the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. Shedeur Sanders is going to be the quarterback, and they're going to bring in an entire staff of people that Tom Brady knows and loves, and it's going to be Brady's team to run. That's just
from
the outside looking in. That's what happened.
I mean, it can't be any worse than Mark Davis. It's impossible.
Well, the thing of it is, the one thing that quarterbacks give you, like look at the Bengals this year. The Bengals stink, and they are blowing it. They are blowing yet another year of one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. But their team, every single year, has hope because they got Joe Burrow at the end of the day. Like the Bears, who we talk about sometimes. Like, we've seen Caleb turn around over the last few weeks, right? You're starting to see that. Starting to see the good from Caleb. Now, if you're a Bears fan, you're like, you know what? Who cares what happens this year? Caleb looks like he's going to be the answer. We're going to get great. I think that this is finally the first time, and I do mean the first time, in my lifetime, the Raiders have never drafted a quarterback in the first round and then invested everything it takes to make that quarterback successful. I believe that's what the Raiders are going to do. I don't know if Shedeur's that guy. I think in a normal draft, in last year's draft, he would have been the sixth quarterback selected. in a normal draft, he'd be taken near the bottom of the first round, maybe the top of the second round. I think that's actually where he lies. Doesn't matter. They're going to go all in. Shedeur Sanders will be wearing silver and black. He will be the face of the Raiders. It'll be Shedeur and Max for the next 5 years, and we'll find out. But if you're going to do that, I don't care if you fire everybody in the building that even speaks of the word defense. You only bring in people that know how to develop a quarterback. You put one unilateral focus on developing that quarterback, and you do everything you can to make sure that you are bringing that quarterback along slow and low. You get that quarterback right. That's what the Raiders are going to try to do.
It's time. It's time to
you
do it.
You got John over here dreaming.
It's time to do it the right damn
you
way.
You got
to
go in like, look, I've always said don't overdraft. And let me be clear. I think the Raiders are going to overdraft Shedeur. I don't think he's worth where they're going to pick him. I think they might even have to trade up to get him, and people are going to crush the team. But, man, when you're taking on Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, and Bo Nix with the coaches that they have, at some point you do have to turn around and be like, I don't know, guys. We can only sit around and wait so long. Let's just take a stab at it. And if it sets us back 5 years, well, we were going to suck for the next 5 years anyway. Let's just take a stab at it. Let's try and get a quarterback. I do believe at some point desperation sets in, and that's where the Raiders are. They're desperate now.
Fitz, you're the best, man. Thank you for the time.
Brother. Have a great week.
Have a great Thanksgiving, my friend.
Happy Thanksgiving to you too, boys. Appreciate you always.
Yes, sir. He is Jason Fitz. Joins us every single Tuesday from Yahoo. Time to draft the signal caller.
Y'all are the best at it right now. Tanking lost 7 in a row.
Loving it.
Giants are at 6. You guys are doing it better than anybody. We're right there with you with 5. We're trying to get down there, but we've already won.
Now, did you see the Raiders schedule?
The rest of the way, no, I did not look.
At Chiefs.
But you have to play Jacksonville, huh? That's going to
hurt. At Bucks, Falcons, Jags at Saints, Chargers.
I don't know. It could be a Jags win. It could actually help you.
I mean, I think the Jags probably do win that game.
Because your Minshew's gone, right? You're playing Aiden out there.
I mean, the Jags, if Trevor Lawrence plays, they'll win the game. That's how I feel.
Now, Deion said he was going to control Shador's draft.
Yeah.
Like Arch did Eli.
Yep.
And if he's only got to get Shedeur to 3, I mean, are you going to – because Keyshawn asked Deion about, I'm pretty sure, specifically the Giants situation. That's where the control thing came up. He don't want him going to the Giants.
Right.
Now, if they clear out front office – you know, maybe there's something in there Deion trusts more.
Yep.
But that's – y'all going to have a shot. I don't know that you're going to have to trade anything to go up there and get him.
Yep.
Especially if Deion's controlling it and wants him in Vegas in the way that Fitzy says Shedeur wants to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you don't have to give up what Fitzy thought you might have to a Jacksonville or a Giants.
Yep, exactly. Anyway, good stuff there from Fitz. Come back, wrap this up on a Tuesday on game day. Jason and John on Turn FM, ESPN. Robert Irwin Jewelers annual Black Friday event going on right now. With every purchase of $299 or more, you get a free gift. Been telling you about this event, and it's really something that you need to get out there and participate in. Buy 1/5 carat diamond hoop earrings in 10 carat white gold. It's $549. You get a free JBL noise canceling headphones pair. Flexi diamond bangle bracelet. Spend $999. You get a free Nintendo Switch. So it goes up. The more you spend, the better that free gift gets. It's the perfect time to buy your engagement ring. At RIJ, you get great service. Love Howie. He's always been so good to us here on the show. And he'd be good to us even if we weren't here on the show. That's the truth of it, because you're going to get that meant-to-be guarantee. You're going to get free ring sizing for life, diamond trade-up. It's the annual Black Friday sale going on right now. Robert Irwin Jewelers. See store for details while supplies last. Free financing, bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. 5 locations. Robert Irwin Jewelers online, rijewelers.com. We're back, Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. What a day it shall be in the land of college basketball. Memphis Tiger basketball playing a big game against Michigan State. Now, I do need to direct your attention to a development.
Yes.
And I'm just going to tell you on the front end, you're not going to like it. Or maybe you will like it. Maybe you will like it.
Well, you left both options open.
An hour ago, Memphis was in the role of Goliath as the presumptive favorite in the game, -1, over at one of the sharpest sports books in the world. In that time, they have changed roles to David.
I'm telling you, it's the second time they've been David today.
Yes. They are now +2.
Bro, it started at +1.5, so then went to -1.
Now it's out to +2.
So that UConn money came back in.
Yes. The Michigan State money, but yes.
Excuse me, Michigan State.
See, again, this is why Memphis is in trouble. But you see what just happened in practice?
I'm stuck. Yeah.
You see what he thought he was playing UConn again.
Y'all know what's
overprepared than underprepared.
Well, he's underprepared right now. He thinks he's getting round two of her like it's a 7-game series.
Yeah, because I'm stuck on that win. I can't get to today.
You got to move on, man.
That's why we're going to lose.
I'm not feeling good anymore.
You weren't feeling good in the first place.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of let myself believe it, but it's like that brand is so strong. So
it's not the same, though.
It is not the same. They don't have pros.
Don't have a bad first half.
Yeah.
Like yesterday.
Yeah.
Should be fine.
Because they're going to defend, and if they can lock in, it's going to be tough for you to have that strong second half. But, it's not the Michigan State that was flush with pros coming in and out. I mean, it's an opportunity here.
We like the David role better for Memphis.
I don't know
what that way.
Penny Hardaway's record as an underdog overall is 27-11 ATS.
Wow.
He's amazing. He's unbelievable. I would guess the higher that number gets, the better he gets.
I mean, the 11 ranked wins, you said 5 in a row. That's double the number of ranked wins that Josh had the whole time here.
Amazing.
He's got some boxes checked. He's got to break through. This might be the team.
Do it again, Penny. One more time. Michigan State, 5 p.m. It's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Jason Fitz for joining us on the show. Thanks to Jessica Benson as well. Jeffrey and Company up next. Stick around. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.